This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Locked In Baseball Podcast. And I want to, take a minute to welcome a good friend of mine. He's been in baseball for such a long time at the college level for years, but now he's at the professional level, serving as an area scout with the Miami Marlins. James Vallée. James, thanks for joining us today, man. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Joe, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and so, welcome you but just kind of let you kind of take the mic for a little bit and talk about, you know, who you are, what you've done, you know, in the game, you know, your college experience. Recently you were at Oklahoma State, or more recently you were at Oklahoma State as a recruiting coordinator there, but, you know, that transition into professional baseball and, you know, how kind of all that came suit and, you know, just, you know, a little bit about yourself and how, you know, what your involvement has been in the game over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. First off, I graduated from Baylor University in 1995. I was fortunate enough to play in a great program in Waco, Texas, and graduated from Baylor, got into college coaching. I actually took a head college coaching job when I was 23 years old at the University of Dallas in Irving, Texas. It was a job that was coming back from an 18-year absence, so it was a difficult startup, going from zero, but ended up having four really good years at the University of Dallas, and all four teams had success, and had a chance to move on to Oral Roberts University and be the hitting coach for a year. As you know, Oral Roberts University is usually in that postseason every year in that NCAA tournament. You know, they've had a strong program for a long time. And then for the next 8 years, I spent 8 years at the University of Texas at Tyler as the head baseball coach, and it was a startup baseball program again. So for me, the opportunity to start two NCAA programs from zero was a unique plus in my coaching career, because, you know, very challenging, but one thing about starting from zero is you get to build. And we're not, you know, recovering, we're not adjusting, we're just building. So those were really fun experiences. And, you know, the UT Tyler run was amazing. We actually had a season where we won 36 games in a row in 2007. So good times there. Great program still. And then from there, I found myself in AA, coaching for the Texas Rangers. I spent 6 years in AA as a hitting coach and infield coach, with the Rangers. Got to coach a lot of big time guys that, are current major leaguers: Elvis Andrews, Joey Gallo, Rougned Odor. So I got to spend a lot of time on the field and player development. And then the opportunity to go to Oklahoma State came up, at the end of the, 2015 minor league season. They had a coaching opening, and, it was a great, unique challenge for me to go into Oklahoma State. I think for a team, that was really, really strong in the 80s and was looking to kind of build back into that, what Cowboy baseball is all about. They hadn't been to Omaha in 19 years, hadn't won a game in Omaha in 22. So, I think the standard of getting back to Omaha was one of the things that I really kind of fell in love with about the job. And my first year back, we got to Omaha. We won a few games. And in the time I was there, we put together two Big 12 championships and, you know, went to four regionals, won two of them and super regionals and all that good stuff. So it was fun. And recently, I think a lot of people are aware that the Marlins had an ownership change. Derek Jeter and some others had bought the team, and the Marlins decided to kind of move forward on structuring their future, and the opportunity to run an area for the Marlins came up, and now I'm in scouting, and it's amazing. And the Marlins is definitely a unique organization with their leadership and the plan for the future. So it's been an incredible journey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've done so much. I mean, you've been, you know, pretty much at every level, you know, all the way, you know, as a development guy in pro ball and then back to Division I baseball. And now on the scouting side, I mean, obviously they're, you know, scouting and development, they're two separate things within, you know, an organization, but, you know, I mean, really, you know, I think you have to be on the development side first. You know, I mean, obviously you were, you know, you played and you coached at a high level, but you have to really understand the intricacies there and the attention to detail, you know, with, you know, how players go about their work and go about their business to really evaluate the talent, on the scouting side. So, I mean, you know, your experience, you know, in the scouting department with Miami, I mean, how has that been for you? You know, is this something you see, you know, I mean, with baseball kind of evolving the way it is, I mean, do you see that there's going to be some major changes on the scouting side of baseball, you know, coming up with, you know, a 5-round draft and, you know, all that stuff coming up for this year?
You know, it's hard to say on what the major changes may be in scouting. I think a lot of the current major changes in scouting have really – really surrounded technology and finding different ways to evaluate guys and finding value in different metrics and things that, you know, that can equate to success or failure. The one thing that we do really well is we marry the analytics and the evaluation and how the scouts feel together to evaluate a player, which I think, you know, Gary Denbo runs our scouting and player development. I think that's a healthy approach to identifying players. And, you know, that was one of the most impressive things that I saw with the Marlins out of the gate. But as far as the changes go, I think it's a wait and see right now. With a 5-round draft, obviously we've all gone out and worked for a 40-round draft. Mm-hmm. And then the possibilities of it being cut in half and then it's 10, it might be 5. I think the work has been put in for a 40-round draft. I know it's disappointing to a lot of amateur players. There's going to be a lot of really good players that are not afforded the opportunity to go play professional baseball this year. Mm-hmm. But as far as the departments go and the priorities, and I know, Joe, you've been in the game a long time as well, but the value of scouting and getting to know a player, what makes them tick, that's one of the things that I was afforded the opportunity to do coaching for the Rangers was, you know, I got to be on the field for 6 years with guys in AA, got to work with major leaguers that came down to our facility on rehab assignments. You know, no major leaguer was ever excited to be in Frisco, Texas on a rehab assignment, but it's part of the process. And that was one of our jobs, was to help guys get ready to go back up. But I think, you know, as far as where we go in the scouting industry, I feel like, to your point before, I feel like my opportunities on the field in AA have helped me with scouting, and putting that together with a recent stint, 4 years, at a Power 5 team, and then going into scouting and then having been in player development, it all really married together for me, where I think I had some advantages that other guys just haven't had the experience to have. But as far as the future goes, it's really hard to say. It really is.
Yeah. And hopefully this is, you know, somewhat temporary in the sense that, you know, this doesn't happen every year. You know, I mean, I know there's fears of like COVID being a, you know, an annual thing for us, and hopefully it doesn't, you know, doesn't evolve into that. But I mean, if it does, you know, I mean, I hope that, you know, Major League Baseball and, you know, all these other, you know, large sporting venues or whatever we want to call it, I hope that we're able to adapt and just be, you know, just find a way to still be successful and be safe and, you know, still be able to provide the type of entertainment and the type of atmosphere, you know, for fans and for the, you know, for the players too. I mean, this is their livelihood. It's the way they go, you know, it's what they, their walk of life and what they choose to do to provide for their families. So, I mean, obviously everybody is affected by all this, but, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the quest to get it back to normal is desirable by everybody. I think that if the survey went out, it would be 100%. Let's just kind of get it back to what it was and move on. I think you hit on a few great topics of, you know, the value of baseball being in our lives and the entertainment value it provides and, you know, just the love of the sport that we all have for it. You know, I think you also hit on the point of keeping it safe. So I think we'll take as close to normal if that's an option. But I know the safety is the concern for everybody, the players involved, the people that are working. And that's really what's going to come to pass here in the next month is what safety measures are going to come out that everybody has to abide to, because it is a scary time. It really is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, with that, you know, let's kind of switch gears a little bit and, you know, just talk about, you know, a project that's been near and dear to your heart for, you know, some few years now, as, you know, founder of Keeper of the Game. You know, kind of discuss about, you know, what the premise is there and how it came to be. And, you know, talk about how, you know, it's more than, you know, baseball's more than just, you know, just a game or a sport. You know, it's a way that we could pour into, you know, each other's lives and be, you know, impactful in ways that's beyond the field, you know. And first of all, I want to commend you for what you've done with this. It's been, you know, after learning this from, you know, learning about Keeper of the Game from you several years back, I mean, it's kind of always been, you know, in my heart to just kind of, one, I just wanted to come back and tell you, like, I really appreciate what you do for the game and what you do for, you know, people involved in it and, you know, just away from the field. You know, you really do a great job with all that.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that, man. And I know I got to spend some time with you and your organization and talking about Keeper of the Game, and we value those opportunities. The one thing that happened to me in 2013 in the offseason was I just had a strong call to start a foundation for kids with special needs and disabilities in and around the game of baseball. And that's what we do. We support kids that aren't as fortunate as us, the kids that are playing the game. And what we try to do is we try to bridge the gap between baseball and the special needs community. And we do this by creating programming for the special needs community to be a part of. But we also support existing programming, programs like Miracle League, Challenger League, Angel League, Special Olympics. We've been partners with Special Olympics for over 5 years now. And basically it became a way for us to really share the game and go beyond the baselines that we're crossing on the field and create another baseline and bring these kids to us personally and have them be really, really involved. And I remember when I was coaching in the minor league, our foundation did a big wheelchair donation for a special needs league because some of the kids in the league didn't have the wheelchair to play in. And obviously it's expensive. And we did this wheelchair presentation, and, you know, Joey Gallo was front and center. He was front and center with us. And to see a guy like that in double A pouring into the community and now watching Joey in the big leagues, you know, a big time player in the show now for the Texas Rangers, to watch him still connecting in the community. We just really appreciate his identification for community need. You know, and that's one of the things that Joey was great with, and Elvis Andrews the same. I mean, what we're trying to do is we're trying to share the game, and we're trying to do it in a way where we can feel the value of what the game can bring to a player beyond hitting 3 home runs in a game, beyond winning a championship, beyond throwing a no hitter. And I think this really ties into, as somebody who's spent a lot of time in amateur baseball, you know, the who you become along the way factor is really important. And I think helping young athletes identify community need and having them, you know, activate their strengths and their abilities, whether it's time, treasure, or talent, into the special needs community or into any part of their community that has a need, I think that's a valuable lesson for all of our players to learn. And I really appreciate your kind words about Keeper of the Game. We've got some incredible people that volunteer, and we've had a big impact. It's been a blast.
Yeah. And I know you shared a story with our organization or our program a couple of years back. And, I mean, it's really, you know, really touching and, you know, kind of, you know, what inspired you to create this. And, you know, I don't know if that's something you want to share here, but I really feel like that was just so compelling for our guys. I mean, we got from our players and our families, like they were like, I know we had, I think Eric Bakich from, you know, University of Michigan spoke as well, I think that time.
Right.
And I mean, he did a great job. He always does. But, you know, what we, you know, what our guys took home from that event that, you know, we had you, attend or you attended and you spoke at, they were really moved by, you know, by what you had to say. And, you know, there's, I mean, and what we're trying to do with this podcast is just try to, you know, share different perspectives about, you know, that, of baseball, you know, because for, you know, as you know, I'm involved in travel ball, and a lot of times, you know, it's so hard for our players and our families and even our staff to look past, you know, next weekend's tournament, you know, and,
right.
You know, you know, I feel like, and I've said it a few times over the last, you know, several episodes that, you know, it's like we create this bubble around us where it's so, we become so short-sighted and we think the game is way smaller than it really is. But what it's really about is, you know, creating, you know, lasting relationships in this game so that, you know, one, you could feed into people and you could pour into them, using, you know, using baseball and, you know, and they could reciprocate. And so, you know, as the game grows, so does that, you know, that sense of community and, you know, the ability for people that have a strong platform within baseball to be able to, create that impact, and contribute to society in just so many different ways. You know, so for, you know, for me personally, I've heard that, you know, the story from you several times about, you know, how this, you know, how Keeper of the Game came to be and what inspired that, you know, and, you know, it's just so, it's so moving, you know, and I mean, I've tried to like tell some people, like the guys that in the families that couldn't make that talk that you gave that day. Right. You know, I've tried to like recreate it and I couldn't, you know, like
yeah.
I tried to give this, I'm just not as good of a storyteller. So, but you know, what you've done is, and like you said, you've been able to take it beyond, you know, just doing what you do on the field, but, you know, incorporate other large, you know, organizations and nonprofits and, you know, you've been able to include them in what you do to help, you know, to help, kind of feed into them, but also like what you did, like after, you know, with Carlos, Ramirez and, you know, in supporting, you know, a movement in Puerto Rico after those storms several years back where you're able to send out supplies or food, or I'm not sure exactly what you sent, but I just remember like on social media, just seeing you guys going to work with that. And that was amazing, man. Like, I mean, I wish I could have done more for those, for that, because I mean, I spent some time out there in Puerto Rico with him as well, with the Beltran Academy and stuff like that. But, mine's all on field stuff. Mine's all, you know, going out there and running, you know, instructional stuff, you know, and I mean, shoot, just the time you put into this stuff is just amazing, and what you've invested into, it's amazing, man. So, you know, thanks again for all that and being an inspiration. And, you know, I mean, shoot, what else you guys, you know, have going on with Keeper of the Game or, you know, going on in baseball outside of that? I mean, do you have, is there more that meets the eye than just what I can see on the website or, you know, on your YouTube channels or anything like that?
Yeah, there's definitely more to it. And, you know, the story that you're referencing that we told to the huge crowd, I was like, when I saw everybody assembled at that AAA ballpark in Vegas for the camp and the talk, it was an amazing experience for me. Just, you know, real quick, the story about a 5-year-old boy who wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, and when he finally got a chance to get in front of me and show me what he could do in baseball, at the end of the time we had together, he laid down on the ground, he pulled up his his blue jean pants, and he took off prosthetic legs. And I didn't know that he had prosthetic legs, but I knew he wasn't going to be a major league player. You know, it would be impossible. But what he taught me about courage, and what he taught me about being a champion and no excuses. And I mean, it's something that I took with me through, you know, my entire career still to this day. And Hollis is, I think about Hollis every time I go to a ballpark. I mean, it's an amazing, impactful story. And, for a kid that didn't get to go play Major League Baseball, he did get to go play wheelchair basketball in college, which is pretty amazing. So he's one of the guys that has inspired me. And as far as, you know, the value of what Keeper of the Game does, you know, I kind of simplify Keeper of the Game through this story. My oldest son, he just turned 21 years old, and he was drafted by the Colorado Rockies in 2017. He was fortunate enough to be their first pick. He was overall number 48. And, you know, I had a reporter ask me, well, you're a coach and you have a son that plays, you know, what do you tell your son? Like, what are you trying to do? I mean, you still like coach him a lot, do this. And like all the questions started coming out. And I said, Jack, I said, I can tell you this. I said, I give him the same message every night before every game that he plays, every game. And I say, I love you, play winning baseball, share the game. And the share the game part of it is directly related to Keeper of the Game. I mean, share the game with everybody. And so what we have on the horizon with Keeper of the Game is we just launched a clinic series that's going to start in Texas in the fall, and then in the late spring next year when everything opens back up, called RP11. And RP11, one of our founding fathers of Keeper of the Game was one of my teammates at Baylor University named Ron Patterson. He recently passed away, and we're carrying on his legacy through RP11, which is Ron Patterson number 11. And what we're going to do is we're going to hold local events for kids with special needs and disabilities, and have kind of an activity time where they can get on the fields and they can learn the game and just really have fun, and then play a simulated game where the special needs kids get to be the all-stars. And so that's one thing that we've just done. And, you know, on another note, Joe, we had a local select coach named Pat Woods. And Pat is, he's a longtime select coach here. He's originally from California. He's a great dude. And, you know, we got a call that, that Pat had about 7% kidney function and was in dire straits. And we were able to provide some funding that helped Pat with what he needed to get through his kidney transplant. And, you know, I talked to him the other day, man, he's up and running and he's doing great. So there are some things behind the scenes that we don't, you know, necessarily put out there, but there's daily impact, and there's life-changing things for myself, the players, the parents. And then, you know, really what it comes down to is for anybody that's listening to this, whether you're a part of Keeper of the Game or not, just believe in the movement. You know, believe in identifying community need and believe in helping others, because that's what's going to make this whole thing work. And when we can do this through the great game of baseball, we all win. We all win.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And, you know, it's just, you know, that story about Hollis and, you know, what it's done for you. I mean, there's so much inspiration you can find in the game if you just look for it. And you know, kind of, like I said, like we're, you know, sometimes we tend to keep ourselves in this bubble where, you know, we focus on the wrong things in, you know, in baseball and life in general. But, you know, since this is a baseball podcast, in baseball, you know, we get so short-sighted and we don't realize, you know, what kind of influence we can have, you know, outside of, you know, what our comfort zone is. So,
you know, well said.
Yeah. So, but I mean, yeah, I mean, congratulations on the gig with Miami. I know, you know,
thank you.
And I didn't get a chance to congratulate you, back when you got, you know, when you got the job and, you know, that transition back from college ball to professional baseball. I mean, you know, what you've done in the game, what you continue to do. I mean, it's just incredible, man. And, I enjoy following you and seeing what you're up to next. And, you know, if there's ever anything that either myself or, you know, what we can do in our small baseball community over here to kind of, to kind of facilitate anything for you and keep her the game. I mean, by all means, you know, go ahead, please reach out. And,
Absolutely. And then the biggest thing for a lot of the coaches that are listening and really trying to tie into, maybe something related to kids with special needs and disabilities. If there's a local league that supports kids with special needs and disabilities, if they email info@keeperofthegame.org, we have a national game ball program where, Joe, if you have a local group that supports kids with special needs and disabilities, through baseball and they have a league, we will supply their game balls for the whole year and we'll do it through your organization. We don't send it from Keeper of the Game. We send it on behalf of Keeper of the Game and we send it to your organization. So it's presented by you as a part of us. So that's how we're building, you know, the bigger team for Keeper of the Game. And that's what we are. I mean, there's kids out there that have, you know, your team to play on, or they play at Cal State Fullerton, or they play at Baylor or Texas, or they play for the Rockies or the Marlins or the Yankees. The Keeper of the Game kids, they're our team. Like, we're their logo. Like, we are their uniform. We're their hat. We are, you know, we have so many special needs kids around the DFW area that when you see them, that's all they have on. They have their Keeper of the Game hat because that's their team. And when someone says, what is that? They're like, oh, this is my team. And so what's really cool is that it's been embraced from, you know, the youngest player that'll ever play and the oldest player that's ever played. You know, we've got such a wide stretch. And, as you mentioned before, guys like Carlos Ramirez, my goodness, there's not many better people in the game of baseball like him, man. He's a special guy. He really is. He's, I always say when I grow up, I want to be just like Carlos, you know? so he's a good dude and he's an inspiration to me because he has passion and I appreciate that.
Yeah. And it's guys like that and guys like you that, you know, you guys are really good for the game at any level, you know, that's just, it's so hard to come across, you know, people like that know, you know, it's, well, you know, one that know baseball to the capacity you guys know it, but also, you know, it's just the type of people you are. I mean, you know, with both of those character traits, it's just, you know, you guys are so perfect for, you know, for the roles you guys play in you know, in young players' lives. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, I mean, but we're kind of getting to that time, you know, and I wanted to, you know, again, thank you, James, for
absolutely,
you know, for making this time for us and for me. And, you know, when we get off the record, maybe we can discuss different ways we can, you know, we can maybe collaborate a little bit more because we have an organization that we run, where we're just trying to find the right, in my dad's foundation, the Mike Spears Foundation, where we're just trying to find the right avenues to be able to give back to the game the way we can. And with this whole COVID thing, you know, it's just kind of, yeah, that's going to have to pivot as well and make a different, you know, take a different direction slightly, you know, so,
yeah.
Seems like a good opportunity, to maybe work together on some stuff, but you know,
absolutely.
Yeah. But seriously, thank you so much. Don't want to take up too much of your time or the listeners' time. And you know, you're just an amazing influence on people, including myself. So, but yeah, thanks, James.
Well, Joe, thank you very much for having me on and, keep that podcast rolling, man.
I appreciate it. And to everybody listening, thanks for listening in. And, you know, if you have a moment, which I'm sure you do, go ahead and click the, you know, subscribe button to the podcast on either, you know, whether it's Apple or Spotify. Leave a rating and review and tell a friend. Till next time, you know, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks again.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.